listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
God is preparing us for an amazing 2024. In your packet, you have week two of reading the Bible. And I want you to take this challenge seriously, for there are 52 weeks in the year where you get to read God's Word. I want to say something about that this morning. Statistically speaking, God's Word will actually transform your life. Here are the statistics. Research shows that destructive habits will decrease. Say decrease. And positive habits will increase. Say increase. When people are in God's Word at least 4 days of the week, someone who reads their Bible four or more times a week, here are the statistics. 59% are less likely to view pornography. 74% are less likely to gamble. 407%, that's a big number, are more likely to memorize scripture. 228% are more likely to share their faith with other people. And 231% are more likely to disciple others in the faith. That's all coming about by reading God's Word. And here, that's nothing, you know, we're not at the end of it. These same people are 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness in their life. Reading the Bible is a good thing. Don't take it lightly. It'll transform your life. Wow, we get to do that all through the year 2024. In this packet, I want to remind you of a few other things that are there. There are two QR codes, one that'll tap you into the events of the church, and the other QR code will tap you into the giving opportunities of Cornerstone Church. I simply want to say, utilize those QR codes, read this program through, and be aware of what's going on in the family. I do want to say that next Sunday, Jeff and Robbie Eklund will be here from Old Town, Idaho. They bring the presence of God when they come. And so I want you to be praying and preparing your heart for an amazing time in God's presence. And then all you ladies, when you came into this place, Sue Pringle gave you a handout. Ladies' night out. Yes, yes. That's going to be January the 19th, and you're not only limited to yourself, you can bring a gal with you, a neighbor, a friend, somebody. Let's use this as outreach and fellowship, and I know you're going to be blessed. I just want to say about giving today, you can give. This is a good way to start 2024 by setting an intentional pattern to put God first financially. And this slide always shows us these four ways to give. I don't want to bore you by the avenues. You probably memorized those. But you can give today by placing your tithes and your offerings in the reception box in the foyer. I want you to take your Bibles. And I am serious about this. This message that I want to share with you, I want you to stay with me. It's not going to be a long message, but it's an important message as we begin 2024. This message is about uncommon community. It's about us. And I need you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. I'm going to read a segment of that verse in the English Standard Version. And I want you to work with me, because this, like Joel was saying, we have made plans for ourselves. And they're good plans. But I want you to know God's plans are better. And this goes in that same direction with regards to how we relate to each other. So look what it says in verse 42. This is about the early church. Friends, the body of Christ. About 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, a phenomena took place. The Holy Spirit moved powerfully. From that moment on, the people of God were different. They acted different. Their plans were scrapped. God's plans took over. And I believe that's a mindset that we need to embrace in the here and now. So look at what this verse says. This is how the early church started out. This is what the early church embraced. And they devoted themselves. These are your brothers. These are your sisters in the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. This was not just an ordinary day of Pentecost. The Jews celebrated that event on a yearly basis. But this day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago was the birth of what we know to be the church, or the body of Christ on the planet. And from that time on, the church has existed, and it'll continue to exist, and this model has been set forth. It's a model that we should adopt and we should function within. It's important that we get this right and operate within this biblical example. Sometimes the church, we do things that are not good. We redefine the terms which take us away from its original intent. And I would like to think that as we begin this year of 2024, we here at Cornerstone want to revisit what is biblical church life. How many would like to align with biblical church life? I do. So what is biblical fellowship? Good question. Glad you asked it. What does it mean when the church comes together? And what is it supposed to, and what's supposed to happen when the church gathers together? When the church comes together in fellowship, we have a tendency to use that term quite loosely. And we arrive at different meanings. Let me say, biblical fellowship is not red punch and cookies. And I'm sure many of you grew up with this routine. And I like red punch, and I like cookies. I like all kinds of cookies. But I hate to break it to you, that was not the mode of operation of the early church. That's not what the Holy Spirit had in mind when the term fellowship was inserted in God's word. It doesn't flow just because the lights are on, nor does it automatically take place after the morning worship service. as good as that is. Hanging out, visiting. It isn't visiting in the church lobby and having cheesy conversations either. I'm going to blow the whistle on this kind of fellowship this morning. Kind of acting like a referee. By the way, there's been a lot of controversy about referees interfering. I want to interfere this morning, intentionally. Fellowship in the biblical context refers to our common life together. And that life together was the source of some of the early church's power. I feel like a salmon this morning going upstream. How many know there's a difference between going upstream and downstream? The resistance from the culture is going to challenge your idea of biblical fellowship. Fellowship in the biblical context is what we want to embrace this morning. In Acts chapter 2, 42, Luke the writer draws our attention to two telling characteristics. One is apostolic teaching, and number two, mutual fellowship. It says they devoted themselves. Who? The believers. They devoted themselves. Joel addressed the idea of what devotion means. The abandonment of our ideas. The abandonment of our agenda. And they devoted themselves to this kind of lifestyle. Another place it says they continued steadfastly. The original term for their devotion means to be strong moving forward. The early church was strong towards fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship in the Bible is koinonia. And koinonia, let me say what it is not. It is not roasting marshmallows around a fire singing kumbaya. That's not what the Bible has to say when it talks about koinonia. Koinonia, in its strictest sense, means rendered partnership, sharing, communion, or the summary word is fellowship. I want to give you a little longer and more precise definition. It's this: fellowship is active participation to a common interest. Let me give it again so you can write it down. Fellowship is active participation to a common interest. Any way you look at it, it comes down to a simple phrase, and that phrase is uncommon community. And that's what we're talking about this morning. This standard of community is a way different than what most churches are experiencing today. Yet, it was the mode of operation that caused the church to grow. It caused the church to face opposition, hardship, and even persecution. These are some things that the modern Western church is yet to be tested in, my personal opinion. Spending an hour in church together. Today it's going to be a little more than an hour. It's okay. That's not going to cut it, really, moving forward. Even if the preaching is good and the worship is excellent, these won't provide the interaction to forge biblical fellowship. I want you to dig deep this morning because we all have to raise the bar, so to speak, in terms of being the body of Christ on the planet today. We've just been too passive on that subject. Because biblical fellowship flows from active encouragement. Real body life together. You might say, well, we're going to invite some friends over today. We're going to watch a little football. We'll have some hot dogs or whatever. And then we're going to have some fellowship. Maybe, maybe not. You might have fellowship, but you may not. Watching the game is fun, but it's not necessarily fellowship. And there is nothing essentially wrong with enjoying each other's company. I want to make that clear. But fellowship is something much deeper and more substantial than having fun. I do not know what's ahead of us in 2024. We heard last night, unpacked by Kent Christmas, a prophetic declaration of what is in God's heart for the body of Christ at this time period and leading into 2024. We were challenged last night to prepare ourselves for what is about to take place in this up and coming year. But nobody can really itemize specifically the details of what you and I are going to face. But there is enough evidence out there that the Christian cause may face some significant opposition or resistance. And we've got to be up to the task. Last night was a powerful time of preparation. I think one of the greatest ways that we can prepare is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, last night was a great night for Jacob. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many know that kind of preparation is huge? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for his intervention in Jacob's life. That's good. But that's only the start, church. Over time, a reservoir of rich, meaningful, God-centered experiences creates a deep, life-sustaining fellowship in the church. What holds our history together is the Spirit of God moving through the Word of God. This impacts the way we live our life. This is what impacts how we serve in the house of the Lord and how we serve one another. Our love then is on display to the region, and at the end of the day, God is building us together in love toward one another. And this is the picture of uncommon community for 2024. Can I say we need a revival? Anybody agree? We are candidates for a revival. And this morning I want to talk to you about some common elements in that respect. Look at these common elements. We need a revival because these common elements come forth from a revival in our hearts. Let me list these for you. They're going to come up on the screen and you have a sheet of paper in your packet, which includes these. Here's what's happening when God's people engage God. Here are some common elements. A shared faith amongst us. We have a common ground in Jesus. And we gravitate to Jesus. Secondly, the same Spirit unites our heart. The Holy Spirit is at work, and he's making us at one, centered around God's purpose, not all of our individual plans. But it's God's purpose that needs to take the central focus. And number three, the power of God's Word is stirring us. Sue came to me a little earlier here this evening, or this morning, thanked me for the Bible reading plan, as it's shifting our focus towards God's Word. Now, I gotta admit, some of this early start is gonna be a little tough sledding. How many know the book of Job is not always easy reading? Pete brought that to my attention, all right? But it's all part of God's Word, which is sowing into us some valuable insights. And the power of God's Word is stirring our hearts. Number four, we're going to learn how to serve each other, even in a greater way. Number five, it puts our love on display for Grays Harbor. By this, the scripture says, shall they know. Who's they? That's anybody outside of the ark of the family of God. By this shall they know that we are Christians. How? By the way we love and handle one another. These are the ingredients which combine into true biblical fellowship. And I want us to raise the bar this year, 2024. And here's the challenge. In our individualistic, busy culture, it's easy to miss the significance of common life together. You got to intentionally seek it with other believers. You got to prioritize. You got to say, this is important to me. You got to make choices of watching Sunday night football or being in prayer with God's people. Come on, this is where the rubber meets the road. That's called uncommon community. And you must be willing to risk the messiness of sharing the journey of life with other people over time. And I tell you, it does get messy. You've got to remind yourself that fellowship like this isn't optional or helpful, but you got to see it as commanded by Scripture. And I'm sorry to introduce that word to you, but it's not me, it's Jesus. Let me point you to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus himself, come on, how many know he's our captain? I know he's your savior, but how many have made him your captain? When he's your captain, he's going to dish out orders to us. And here's what he says in John 13, 34, a new commandment, not a suggestion, not a good idea, not an option. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you have, let you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So fellowship is a discipline. It's a needed practice. And it's something I hope you'll embrace in 2024. It's one of the surest barometers of the quality of our Christian life. The barometer measures the Christian relationships in our life. Jeff Eklund's going to be with us next Sunday, but if he weren't, I'd share with you the message I'm going to share with you the Sunday after, which is entitled, With Friends Like This, You Fill in the Blanks. Choosing your friends wisely. I'm not going to go too deep into that right now, but I want you to know Christian relationships are huge, and we're going to do this journey together. Fellowship is like this. It's two fellas in a ship. It's not us floating down the river by ourselves. As much as you like to do life by yourself, you do it with others. As much as you like to do your Christian life yourself, you got to do it with community. That's the way God set it up, and that's how he introduced it on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. That's life in the family of God. And we're on a verge of a new year. And we don't know exactly what this year is going to hold, but I'm sure as a country and as a region, we're going to experience some challenges. And in order to properly rise to the occasion, we, the church, are going to have to step up our game. This is going to center on one prime factor, and that is the quality of our Christian relationships. We've been called into uncommon community for such a time as this. I refer you to Esther. I love Esther in the Bible. She's one of my more favorite Old Testament characters. God used her powerfully to turn a nation and spare the Jewish people from major destruction. In 2024, who knows what God's going to use you and how he's going to use you to turn a county, to turn a region, to turn your family, to turn your neighborhood. I don't know how God's going to do that, but you can be likened to an Esther and step into the gap. Stand to your feet with me. We've had an amazing service throughout this time this morning. I want us to conclude. These musicians are going to just wrap up with a song here. But I do want you to heed the challenge. I do need to remind you, 5:30 tonight, more prayer. We had 25 the first night. We had 30 last night. Great if we had double that tonight. Pursue God. It's up on. This morning we're here to respond to what God's been saying all through the service. Our communion around the table of the Lord set the tone for this message. So lift your hands and let's say, in this year, it's going to be different. I don't know how yet, but I'm going to position myself to embrace the ways of God. I like that, Joel, the ways of God, because the early church was known as the people of the way. The people of the way. It was how they lived their life. It was how they did community. It was the way of life. And Lord, today we stand in this room, and you've been speaking to us from the very first song that lifted your name up to this moment about engaging you to walk in a new way. A way that represents you, that makes a difference for those around us. And I guess, Lord, we're saying also that I'll do whatever is necessary to embrace your change so that I can walk that way. So we simply make that decision in the affirmative today to be your people, individually and corporately, because you're an amazing God to our life. Therefore, we can't help but say yes to you, and we commit our ways to you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. ready for 2024. It's going to be a great year. Yep, Joel, God's going to mess you up with your plans. He's going to, you might as well just set that page aside and see what God has for you. I know you have to get your kids. Some of you need to get on the way, which is called Sumner Avenue. But some of you do need and would like special prayer. We do have our prayer team ready to pray with you. But remember, today, 5:30, we're going to be gathering together. God bless you. Let's have a wonderful year in the presence of Jesus. God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.